Point 51, a husband loves his wife to be religious, pious, in order to remind him when he feels weak and lazy. And this is very important, brothers and sisters. When you marry a woman who fears Allah, a religious sister, who fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and who will stand by you and help you and remind you and support you. That's why the Prophet ﷺ, when he said a man might propose to marry a woman for her beauty, for her nobility, for her wealth, and for her religiousness or piety, then he said, choose the one who's religious. So that should be the first priority for you. Because if you marry a woman because she is so beautiful, but she is not religious, then you'll be suffering. Why? Because beauty will not last forever. Few years and that beauty will go, will disappear. One child, two child, second child, third child, then that beautiful figure will go. The beautiful face will start to have wrinkles. So all that superficial beauty will disappear. What actually remains, brothers and sisters, what actually remains is the beauty of the substance of the woman. Maybe she is not that beautiful, but she has a good substance, good heart. So you should marry a woman who is religious, fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you are weak, she tells you, fear Allah. You are facing difficulties, she reminds you and tells you, my husband, listen, my husband, to me. Fear Allah. Allah will be with us. And don't feed us anything haram. Allah is the provider. Because there are many, many Muslim men, unfortunately, they don't fear Allah. They are feeding their children haram, either by cheating or selling things illegal or smuggling. So they have illicit gains. And they are feeding their children. And this poor woman, she doesn't know what to do. She prays, she fasts, but her food is haram. Her children are raised and fed by haram. And you know the Prophet ﷺ said, أَيُّمَا يَسَدْ نَمَا مِنْ مَالِ السُّحْتِ فَالنَّارُ أَوْلَى بِهِ. Anybody that is raised up and fed by haram food, it is destined to hell. This body will be roasted in the hellfire. And you are feeding your children haram. You want to send them to hell? One day, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, his slave, the slave of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq who became a Muslim, he brought a plate full of food and he gave it to Abu Bakr. And Abu Bakr had one morsel. And then he asked, how did you get this food? He said, before I became a Muslim, I used to be like a soothsayer, a fortune teller before I became a Muslim. And I gave incantation. This is before Islam. He was working like a psychist, fortune tellers, palmist. And this food today was given to me as a gift for what I did in the past. So it is my reward. So Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, when he heard that, you know what Abu Bakr did? He threw it out. He put his finger into his throat and he vomited. And he brought that morsel out. And he carried on doing that. And they were telling Abu Bakr, you didn't know our Abu Bakr. He said, I know, but I don't want any morsel of haram to go inside my body. Don't you fear Allah? You are feeding your children, the poor children, and you are working hard to save money for them, and then actually you are sending them to Jahannam, saving money to send them to hell, feeding them haram. So brothers, fear Allah regarding your families. Leave the haram. Allah will never put barakah, no blessing. Allah will put in the haram. I know a brother who was working in a bank, and he was a bank manager. I know him. And then he was not practicing Muslim by then. Yes, praying, fasting like many Muslims. But he thought that working in a bank as a bank manager is okay. He was the bank manager here in Fujairah Bank. And then, mashallah, he started practicing. And he said to the manager, this is my resignation. He said, why? He said, it is haram. They tried by all means to convince him to stay. They say, we will give you promotions, we'll give you this, we'll give you that. He said, I don't want it. It is haram. And he left it. Because many of you, if they are working in the haram, the shaitan tells them, well, you will not get a job but like this. How can you gain your bread? How? Subhanallah. Who is the Razzaq? Who is the provider? You, the job, or Allah? It's Allah who is providing for you. And now you are working in a bank, a river system, and feeding your children haram. And you are fighting Allah. You are fighting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't you read Surah Al-Baqarah? That if you don't stop, then wait. That Allah will wage war against you. فَأْذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. Wait for a fight and a war waged against you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the authentic hadith, he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, dirham riba ashaddu min 36 zaniya. One dirham of riba, only one dirham of riba is worse than committing zina 36 times. In another hadith, he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this hadith is in Sahih al-Tarhib wa-Targhib, authenticated by our Shaykh al-Bani rahimahullah. And the hadith is in Sahih al-Tarhib wa-Targhib by Imam al-Mundhiri. He said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-riba bid'un wa sab'una shu'ba. Adnaha an ya'ti ahadakum bi-ummih. Riba is more than 70 branches or grades. The lower grade or the lowest level of riba is just equivalent to committing incest. Just like committing zina with one's mother. That's the lowest degree. Like one sleeping with his own mother. How can a Muslim who fears Allah after hearing this hadith from the Prophet ﷺ stay and carry on working in banks or any haram organization that is dealing with the haram? Listening to the shaitan and to his shaitan who tells him, oh, you will not have another job which will give you the same income, and you got used to this standard of living. All these are satanic whispers. Leave the haram immediately. What will you say if you die now? What will you say to your Lord? What will you say to Allah if you die now? And you are fighting Allah. And subhanallah, they try to argue with you, those who are working in banks, they argue with you and say, this is not the riba that the Quran mentioned. So what is it? If what the banks today, what the banks are doing today, if it is not riba, then there is no riba at all. What the banks are doing, exactly the riba that was there before Islam. As a matter of fact, the riba the banks are doing nowadays is worse than the riba before. Because we know the riba at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, there were two types of riba. Riba fadl and riba nasi'ah. Riba fadl and riba nasi'ah. Which means, the riba of nasi'ah. Nasi'ah means the duration or time. Riba fadl means exchanging the same merchandise or such the same commodity with extra amount. So nasi'ah and fadl. That the nasi'ah, I lend you money, and then when you pay me back my money with extra charge. This extra amount of money is the price for time. The price of time, which is nasi'ah. Fadl, I exchange two commodities, two merchandise, the same type, the same kind, date with date, rice with rice, wheat with wheat, barley with barley, as mentioned in the hadith, gold with gold, silver with silver, but different amounts. Islam said no. If you exchange gold with gold, it has to be the same amount and hand in hand. So if I exchange 2 kilos American rice with 1 kilo, basmati rice, that is riba, because this is rice and this rice. Some might say, but this, they are different qualities. You say, well, then they should be separate deals. I sell the 1 kilo basmati rice, I take the money, then I can buy another deal, separate deal, 2 kilograms of American rice, or any other rice. So this is the two types of riba that were present at the time of the Prophet ﷺ. The banks, they are doing the same. It's the combination of the two. You go to the bank. By the way, the principle or the philosophy of Islam, how money or how you get money, what yields and gives the money is work. Work yields money. But money doesn't yield money. But the banks, money yields money. So you go to the bank and say, I want a loan. You say, all right, but this is the interest rate. They call it interest. They don't want to call it riba or usury. And some they differentiate between interest and usury. So usury is haram because that is exorbitant rate. But interest, reasonable, so it's okay. So that's why we say we have to use the Islamic terminology, the riba. Riba, whether it is interest or usury. So you go to the bank and they say, this is the riba rate. So you took from them, for instance, you took from the bank £1,000. After 1 year, you have to give £1,200 or £150. So this is the extra amount, is the value of the time for the 1 year. So this is riba. What is it? What type of riba is this? The value of time. Riba nasi'ah, isn't it? At the same time, it is also riba fadl. How is it riba fadl? Just I want you to recall that in the beginning, when the banking systems started, and the philosophy of these bank notes, this paper notes you have, they have an equivalent value of gold deposited in the Swiss banks. So this note has equivalent ceiling or value of gold. So actually, what we are exchanging is gold. Just try to imagine this. This nowadays, it's not the case, but just to try to get the picture. Nowadays, the currencies are linked with other things. But before that, every note is covered by a certain amount of gold. So when the bank gave you £1,000, let's say that £1,000 is equivalent to the price of 100 grams of gold. Yes, he gave you papers, but these papers, they have a deposit of gold. And when you are giving it back, you are giving an extra amount of gold, few grams extra. So he gave you 1 kilogram gold, or 100 grams gold, and you are giving back 1 kilogram and 200 grams or 700 grams gold, extra amount. So gold with extra amount is riba fadl. So the banks today, the system in the current banks is the combination of the two types of riba. How then you try to convince us that these banks and what the banks are doing is not riba? Actually, it is worse than the riba at the time of the Prophet ﷺ. Because the two types of riba are put together. It's only the shaitan who's trying to convince you that what you are doing is alright. It's not haram. Or some they look for, you know, the easy way out and they look for any fatwa. Any sheikh gives them fatwa so that they say, we know, the allama, the scholar so and so, said it is okay. For instance, some they say, you know, the mufti of Egypt, or the sheikh, he gave the fatwa that what the banks are doing is not riba. The same mufti of Egypt, before he became a mufti, his fatwas before he became a mufti, because the position of iftar, or the post of iftar, you become the mufti of the country, you are elected by the president, and you have to soothe and convince please the president. Before he became a mufti, his fatwas that what the banks are doing is riba. And then he changed the fatwa. And why you want to follow the fatwa of one person and you leave the fatwa of the rest of the Muslim Ummah scholars? The Muslim scholars throughout the Islamic world, for instance, Al-Majlis in Mecca, the Islamic quarter, headquarter for the Muslim jurist in Mecca, Mujamma al-Fiqhi, where every year the Muslim scholars, they meet and they issued fatwas related to financial issues. They issued the fatwa and they refuted what this mufti said. So, fear Allah, O Muslims, and you will be standing alone in front of Allah, and you will enter your grave alone, and those children whom you are feeding haram will be asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say to Allah, O Allah, our father fed us the haram and we were very poor and we were dependent on him. And what answers could you give to Allah Azza wa Jal? How could you justify this? So fear Allah and leave the haram if you believe in what Allah said and if you believe in the promise of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in his book, the Quran, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. And whoever fears Allah, Allah will provide for him from sources he cannot expect. Allah will create for you an exit. So fear Allah and leave the haram immediately. Just imagine yourself dying tonight. Don't say, I will leave the haram tomorrow. Say now. And say, oh Allah, forgive me. So if you die, you have the niyyah to leave the haram. May Allah Azza wa Jal guide all the Muslims to the truth. And may Allah strengthen their iman. And may Allah protect you and protect your children. And may Allah enable us only to live on halal and eat halal and die while eating only halal, and to save us from the haram and from illicit gains. May Allah increase our knowledge in His deen. Ameen. Quality number 52. What a husband likes his wife to have, that first of all, she should make him feel that she is in need of him, and she is dependent upon him, and that she can not live without him metaphorically. So by showing this and expressing that her need of her husband makes him feel happy. And this brings him closer to her. And this makes him feel that he is the man of the house. He is the man of the family. That the rest of the family members are totally dependent after Allah upon him. But if his wife ignores him, especially if she is working and she is earning, and she buys her own things, she never asks him anything. And also, she buys most of the things from her own income. So he feels he is useless. He's not that important. That's why a woman who's working, and most of the families that the both of them are working, and if the wife is contributing and helping directly or indirectly, she feels that she's having a sort of the upper hand. That's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who created us and who knows the psychology of both men and women. He made the man the only one responsible to gain the bread and to look after his wife and his children as well. So the wise woman is the one who will make her husband feel that he is the man. He's the captain who is steering the ship. And he's the man that the rest of the family are in need of him. So this is a noble quality a Muslim should have. But if you make your husband feel that he is not that important, and you don't ask him things, for instance, I mean, because you are working, you are contributing, maybe you are doing this to help him, but also it has an effect. It will affect the relationship. So even if you are helping him, you should make him feel that he is the man. And everyone in the family are in need of him. So this is a noble quality a Muslimah, a wise Muslimah should have. We know that when Zainab, the wife of Ibn Mas'ud, she was a rich woman, very rich. And Ibn Mas'ud was very poor. And when she decided to help him, to give him her zakah, he told her, verify first of all and go and ask the Prophet ﷺ. And the Prophet ﷺ, he told her, you will get the reward twice. Because it's the duty of the man to look after his wife, even if she is a rich woman. The nafaqah is a must, and it is his obligation to fulfill. Quality number 53. A husband loves his wife not to remind him of the mistakes, the faults, the blunders he made in the past, and to bring or revive the bad memories of the past. Because if you keep nagging and reminding him of the bad memories, that will make the relationship weak and the warmth and love will disappear from their life. So what happened in the past, forget it, you bury it, and that's it. Not when you get angry, you go back to square one and start reminding him of the mistakes he made in the past. Or the opposite. The husband does that to his wife. What happened, happened. We live our day. We don't live yesterday or live in the past. We want to proceed. We have a future. But if we go back and start, you forgot what you did to me, and then you start listing down, that means all these things are still green in your memory. They're not forgotten. So you are actually scratching the wounds again. And you know, if you scratch your wound again, it will be very difficult to heal. And the more you scratch it, the deeper that wound will become. And who knows, that wound will spread. And then it becomes incurable. So once the wound is healed, That's it. We don't scratch it again. So quality 53, that you don't remind him of things happened in the past, his mistakes, but you should actually try to recall the beautiful memories, the good days when you got married, the sweet days you spent together. These good memories, when you recall them, when you recall the good memories, it actually energizes, gives you a sort of energy and puts a sort of vigor and strength, as if you're putting life again into the marital relationship. That's why people should always remember the good things. That is, subhanAllah, forgetfulness is actually a bless from Allah. It's a ni'mah, it's a blessing that Allah made us forget things. Imagine that we don't forget. Imagine Allah created us with, subhanAllah, memories that they will never forget anything. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made our memories volatile. Things, they just go and disappear and lost, and that's it. And this is a blessing. Imagine that you will never forget anything. You will never feel happy, because all the sad events that you experience will spoil your happiness. Because no one of us hasn't experienced sadness. So these sad events, if we just keep them, remain green in our memories, they will spoil our moods, and they will never enjoy any happy moments in our life. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who makes us forget. And this is a blessing from Allah. That's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that it is He who makes you cry, and it is He who makes you laugh. وَهُوَ الَّذِي أَضْحَكَ وَأَبْكَى. It's Allah who makes you cry, and it's Allah who makes you laugh. Maybe you cry in the morning and you laugh at evening, or the second day, or the third day. A smile will come again. Why? Because this is pushed away from your memory. That's why the Muslim will not have depression. Why he will not have depression? Because what happened, happened. And he would say, قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ وَمَا شَاءَ فَعَلْ. So what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed happened. And you carry on with your life. So this is a noble quality that we should not remind the people of the bad moments or the bad behaviors and attitudes which they exhibited and showed. We just forget that and carry on with our life. And we should not, and this is not only applied to husband and wife relationship, it is applied in all sorts of relationships. For instance, someone said something bad about you, and then he or she came to you, and even he didn't or she didn't make any apology. But he or she, pretending that things are normal, just accept it as normal and forget it. Maybe he or she feels it's difficult for them to confess that they were mistaken. All right, accept that. The quality 54th, that a husband loves his wife to show and manifest her love and respect and appreciation for her in-laws. A husband loves his wife to love her in-laws, to love his parents. And she should make him feel that she loves his parents. For instance, to pray for them in front of him. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help them, to support them, to give them tawfiq, etc. And also in his absence. And she should make him feel that she is happy to know about his family. Because if he is acting otherwise, that will make him start to think about his marital relationship with this woman who doesn't like his parents. And all of you know the story of Abdullah ibn Umar and his father Umar and the Prophet ﷺ. Umar ibn Khattab, he didn't like the wife of his son, his daughter-in-law. And he said to his son, divorce her. And his son loved his wife too much. So he refused. So they took the case to the Prophet ﷺ. They reported their problem to the Prophet ﷺ. And the Prophet ﷺ said to Abdullah ibn Umar, listen to your father, divorce your wife. Here you can understand there was a reason. This reason Umar didn't want to mention it. And the Prophet ﷺ approved of the stance of Umar because he knows Umar very well, that Umar would not decide and suggest to his son to divorce his wife unless that wife is not suitable for his son. So, if a wife now is not showing respect to his parents, and as a matter of fact, maybe she is trying most of the time to ignore his family and not to contact them or not to visit them, etc., or to help them financially, then if a woman is like that, definitely she is not suitable to be his wife, because she is driving you and pushing you so quick and quickly to the hellfire. But if she is always reminding you about your family, she loves your family, she prays for your family, then undoubtedly this wife is a pious woman, and you should have her and keep her with you, and she is the suitable wife to be the mother of your kids. Because if a woman loves her husband, she would love also his parents. And a man who loves his wife will also love her parents. So the love is reciprocal, mutual. If I love my wife, I will love her parents. She loves her. A woman loves her husband, definitely she will love his parents. So the respect is mutual. Because some men, they expect their wives to love their parents, and they don't reciprocate. They don't show the same treatment or the same degree of love for their in-laws. And that's wrong. And the Prophet ﷺ is our example. He loved Khadija so much to the extent after her death, when any of Khadija's friends visited them, he would say to his wives, be nice to them. She used to visit us during Khadija's time. And he would be nice to them, giving them, welcome them, etc. That shows that the Prophet ﷺ, he loved Khadija too much, not only Khadija, and even the friends of Khadija, he would respect them, because they were friends of his wife. So, a Muslim husband should take the Prophet ﷺ as his example. So this is quality number 54. Quality number 55, that she should, a Muslim, any woman in particular, in general, she should know. And if you recall, brothers and sisters, I mentioned this many times, that a woman should know her husband in and out. You should know your husband thoroughly. You should study him. Analyze his personality. So you know what he likes, you know what he doesn't like, you know what he loves. You should know what types of dress he likes you to wear, what types of food, what types, how he would like you to behave, your attitude. Because this will enhance and strengthen the relationship and the love between the husband and wife. Because many women, they are weak in this area, or naive. They don't know. So these things should be made known to them. You should know what type of dress your husband loves, what color, what type of food, how he expects you, for instance, to handle problems,
how he would expect you to reply. If someone, for instance, was fool, so you should know all these things. Take the stories of the Sahabiyat. You know that one day, Asma bint Abi Bakr, Asma, the daughter of Abu Bakr Siddiq, that Unnutaqain, the owner of the two belts, you know her story. She was the wife of Zubayr ibn al-Awwam, and she was carrying massive basket on her head, full of dry date, carrying it from a far distance, from the farm of Zubayr, and heading to her home. Why? To crush that date and feed it to the horse of Zubayr. The Prophet ﷺ passed by her and he felt pity for her, so he decided to give her a lift. So he made the camel sat down so that she can take a ride and ride the camel on the back of the camel. But she did not accept that offer from the Prophet ﷺ despite the fatigueness, the tiredness, etc. Why? She decided to carry on walking. Why? And the one who is offering her that is the Prophet ﷺ. Then the Prophet ﷺ realized that she didn't want, so he left her. You know what she said? She said, I remembered the jealousy of my husband. What stopped me that my husband is a jealous husband. She knows her husband very well. Though the one who's offering her to ride the camel is the Prophet ﷺ, but yet she took into consideration the jealousy of her husband, the ghira of Zubair. And she mentioned this to Zubair, and he told her, well done. So Asma, she loves her husband too much, so she would not do anything that might make him angry. So this is the wise woman, the wise wife, the one who knows her husband, and avoid anything that might incite him or provoke him or make him angry. So you should know your husband. Yes, this is a Zubayr ibn al-Awwam, yes, whom the Prophet ﷺ said that Zubayr is equal to 1,000 fighter. Zubayr alone is equal to 1,000 Mujahid, Zubayr. But he was very jealous. Also, another some of the Sahaba, like Sa'd, he was also jealous. So if he divorced a woman, no one will dare to marry her because of his jealousy, though he divorced her. They said also that if his wife, any of his wives, rode a camel, the moment they reached their destination, he would slaughter the camel. He doesn't want anyone to ride the same camel that his wife rode. Jealousy. Okay, and they say jealousy is akin to love. Sometimes when you love someone, you become very jealous. So a woman, Muslima, wise wife, is the one who knows her husband very well. Point 56, which is quality 56th, that she should say to him when he's leaving house. This is a quality that any husband likes his wife to have, that she tells him goodbye when he's leaving the home, leaving his house. So she's escorting him to the door. Not that he leaves the house when she is still in bed, and he comes from the office when she is still in bed. Some women, they are like that. The husband leaves in the morning and he comes in the afternoon and she's still in bed. She got up and then she went back to sleep. You say, what is this a woman? What is this? But the Muslimah is the one will get up in the morning, pray the Fajr, prepare the breakfast, make sure that her husband will not leave the house without taking his breakfast. And she will take him up to the door, hugging him, kissing him. Have a nice day. I will miss you. I'll be waiting for you. Oh, these beautiful expressions. You don't know what you are doing to your husband. You make his day, he'll be smiling, happy, flying. Because the moment he steps and he leaves this house,
he will be seeing many, many things. Many dirty women, naked women, in the office, everywhere.
But that hug in the morning is making him forget all this rubbish around him. He's only thinking about you.
So do it, sisters. And the Prophet ﷺ is teaching us this.
When he comes from outside, he would hug his wives, kiss them.
He's teaching us that.
So this quality, that you escort him to the door, make sure that he took his breakfast, and shower him with your kisses, with your love expressions, this shows that you love your husband, and throughout the day, he will be just thinking when he will finish his job, and he will head back to his home, to his paradise on earth. A wise Muslimah is the one who turns her home to be paradise on earth. There is a program addressing family issues by one of the mashayikh. And one of the episodes there, he was receiving calls. And one of the husbands called, and he said, when I enter my home, I say, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubth wal-khaba'ith. You know this dua? When you say this dua, when you say this dua, oh Allah, I seek protection in you from the khubth and the khaba'ith. When you go to the toilet, that's true. But he says this dua when he enters his house, that he is going now, what he's going to see inside, not human beings, but jinn. This is how he looks to his home. And not only that, another caller called and he said, I agree with this brother 100%. And he said, and my wife is next to me. That's true. The dua is very correct. Subhanallah, Muslims, the way they look, that he is going not to his house, as if he's going to the toilet, full of shayateen. A husband who doesn't miss his home is not happy. Because his wife is not a successful wife. He doesn't know how to make her life successful. There is no relationship. And this is not the life of Muslim. So make your husband that he misses his home. He wants to go back. Everything he has, there is no need for him to go outside to have entertainment. Entertainment, he can get it at home. His wife is a comedian. She makes him laugh till he falls. So they don't need anything. They don't need anything. They are friends. They are husband and wife. They are everything. The quality number 57, when he comes home, she receives him with warmth, welcome, obedience, whatever he wants. And she should make him forget the tiredness and the fatigueness of work. Because he had a long day. She takes him. She receives him. In some Muslim countries, the wise woman, I'm talking about wise woman, she would prepare for him pot with warm water, with salt, and she would ask him to soak his feet in that warm water to refresh him. And the towel is ready for him. It's a beautiful life. Quality number 58. A husband loves, and also a woman, a wife, loves and likes her husband to tell her, to express his feelings that he loves her. You know, sometimes your wife might ask you, do you love me? Yeah, she would ask you that. Do you love me? Say, yes, I love you. She wants to hear it. So there's no need. There's no need to make her ask you that question. You should tell her. You tell her your feelings that you love her. So similarly, a woman should show her feelings that she loves her husband. Should talk about it. I miss you. Just say that. Because Muslim families are in bad shape nowadays. Problems. Rate of divorce is so alarming. The figures are so frightening. Khul'a. Problems. Why? Muslim families are in bad shapes. Why? because we are drifting and going away from our deen and putting this deen into practice. May Allah Azza wa Jal reform all the Muslim families. May Allah Azza wa Jal bring love and intensify and strengthen love between husbands and wives, between Muslims, couples. May Allah Azza wa Jal unite our hearts upon the truth. And may Allah Azza wa Jal unite our ummah and bring our ummah together. Ameen, ameen, ameen.
So quality number 59, that the wise woman, the good Muslimah, what her husband wants her or expect her to have, that she gives more priority to the requests and demands of her husband over anything. In other words, the requests and demands of her husband take more precedence over anything else. So he has more priority than anyone in her life, even her father or her mother. In other words, if he says something and her father says something, he wants her to accept what he is saying, not to listen to her father or to her mother. And this is very important in the marital relationship. The parents should remain distant and should not interfere in the life of their daughter, especially the mother, because the mother will pour down her heart, out her heart, and she would not be thinking rationally. She would be always biased to her daughter. I'm talking in general, most of the mothers. There are exceptions. So instead of helping her daughter throughout her marital life and make her marital life successful, she is actually, without knowing, destroying and ruining. And she ruins and destroys the marital life of her daughter. So that's why the parents should keep themselves distant and should not interfere unless their interference is needed. When things trespass the limits and one has to stop the husband and tell him, hey, you crossed the boundaries. But before that, they should let the daughter handle her own problems by herself. And every woman should know how to handle her own problems by herself. As long as that marital problem is still confined and limited between the four walls of their bedroom, then the solution is at hand. But once it comes out and people start to know about it, then it becomes insurmountable. It becomes very, very difficult to solve this problem. So a husband, he wants his wife to give more priority to him than anyone else. If he says to her, don't go today or this weekend or this month to visit your family, she said she should obey and listen to him. Even if her parents are insisting, and sometimes the mothers, they keep insisting, I want to see you, you have to come. But my husband is saying no. Say, what? Who brought you up? I or your husband? Listen to me. This is here now that the mother is interfering in the life of her daughter. And now the daughter she doesn't know whom to please. To please her mother? And she's afraid that he doesn't want to become undutiful and to fall into what we call uquq, the undutifulness, and also she doesn't want to lose her husband. And the husband is threatening her. If you step one step outside, you are divorced. Do you understand? What to do now? She should listen to her husband until he cools down. Then she can talk to him and he can let her go and see her family. And you'll be surprised that the jurist, this is something off the shelf, of course, this is the jurist, they mention in their books an issue. They say the man said to his wife, and she was on the stairs. She was on the stairs climbing up. He said, if you move one step up, you are divorced. If you descend one step down, you are divorced. And if you stand still, you are divorced. What to do? They said she jumped. She jumped from the stairs. So the divorce didn't take place. She jumped. And they say she was a jurist. She was a scholar herself. Very clever. She jumped. So she didn't go one step up. She didn't come one step down. And she didn't stand still. Okay? Because she doesn't want to lose and to destroy her marital life. So this is quality 59. That she gives more priority to her husband than anyone else in her life. And the parents should know this. They should not interfere. And the wise mothers should always keep instructing their daughters. Listen, my daughter, he's your husband. And he's the father of your kids, your children. And life is not honey and milk. Because many of the youngsters, those who are newly married, they think life is honey and milk. The girls in particular, they are, you know, fantasizing, and they are thinking they are utopian. They are not down to earth. They are not pragmatist. They are utopian, living in another world, dreaming. Life is not like that. Life is give and take. So the parents are the ones who would instruct the daughters, and the mothers in particular. They should tell them no, be patient, try to understand him, try to avoid things that provokes him, etc., etc. And I told you that story, a father. And the father also as well should not let his daughter know that he's on her side. Because the fathers, they will say, if she calls him, just give me a few seconds, I'll be right there now. Just a few seconds. I'll pick you up. What does he think himself? Okay? We'll look after you. So some fathers, they are like that. Those fathers, they will not do good to their kids, to their children, to their daughters. They spoil them. And then they destroy their marital life. So the wise father should not let her feel like that. If she calls complaining about her husband, he should tell her, no. I know your husband very well. You must be mistaken. You must have done something wrong. He wouldn't have done that. He should defend her husband in front of her. And then grab her husband alone and then talk to him. Say, listen, I gave you my daughter, and when you came and you knocked my door, and you proposed, we accepted you. We thought that this is a trust, that you will look after her, and you take care. And we thought that you fear Allah. I brought up my daughter. I know my daughter very well, but she doesn't know what I'm saying. So fear Allah regarding her. And if you don't want her, then you can release her honorably, in a nice manner, without hurting one another. So now, the son-in-law will respect his father-in-law, because he heard what he said to his daughter in front of him, and now he's talking to him alone, and she doesn't know what's going on. So the wise fathers, this is how they behave, this is how they handle the problems. And the story which I mentioned previously, and I don't mind mentioning it now, which passed to us, through the elders, they said a daughter came complaining to her father against her husband. And he was sitting with her father and her husband. And she was complaining. And she doesn't want to go with her husband to her home. So they said the father, he tore the dress of his daughter. She became naked and he turned his face. And she ran and hid herself behind the back of her husband. Not behind his back. Behind the back of her husband. So he told her, you see, he is your kafa. I'm not your kafa. He is your kafa. He is your knobby. So go with your husband. So yes, we love our kids, we love our daughters, we want them to have happy marital life. We should not pamper them, we should not spoil them. Point number 60, that the husband loves his wife to be silent or to be attentive and quiet when he's talking. And she should give him a chance to talk. Because some women, they just, you know, they dominate. You know, here in this part of the world, they say, women, they say, he is like a ring in my finger. My husband is like a ring in my finger. That means he's like a robot. I do whatever I want. I say to him, go, he goes, sits, he sits, whatever. I dictate to him, he does. So he's like a ring in my finger. Those women, this type of women, actually they are foolish. They are foolish. They think if they are that dominant, then they will be happy. Actually, she's putting more burden on herself. They are fools. Because then the husband is useless. Because then she is the wife and she is the husband. She's taking the roles of the two. But a husband has a certain role to play. But some women, they dominate and they take over. Then the relationship, that the personality of her husband or the man is not there anymore. She doesn't look to him like a man, just like a puppet. What he does is only the fulfillment of the biological process. That's it. But a woman, she wants, a man in her life who tells her, no. That's it. I said no. Yeah. You know what inside her? She feels, yes, he is the man. She laughs inside. She likes that. Yes, the red eye. You never forget that. She wants that. She wants to hear there is a man. Not always, yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am. What yes, ma'am? He doesn't want to hear that. He wants to see, no. I said, no, that's it. Any woman, she wants to feel that there is a man. But if he is at her disposal and she, whatever. I told you this, it happened, it's a true story. One woman, she hit her husband with the vase. She hit him. Why? Because he was so obedient. Always saying, yes ma'am, yes ma'am. So what is wrong with you? And some men, in Arabic we say, especially those who are brought up only by their mothers, said this is the upbringing of a woman. The Arabs, they say that. Because he was brought up only by his mother was dominating his life. So he is his mother's baby, or mama's boy. So she is dominating his life, even after the marriage. She can call him after midnight, come now, do this, do that, don't listen to her, etc. So his personality is very weak, very weak. So a wise wife who found out that this is the personality of her husband, she should not contribute to make it worse and to weaken him further and further. She should stand by him and try to give him confidence and try to make him feel that he can be a man, and a man who takes decisions and responsibilities. So she needs to stand by him and make him regain confidence in himself, because he lacks that. Some husbands, they say, as you like, you know better, you decide. A woman doesn't want that. You are the one who steers the ship. You are the captain. You are the one who should shoulder responsibilities. So this quality number 60, a husband loves his wife that when he talks, she listens to him. Because some women, they just want, one man shows. They want to be the star of the whole show. They're always talking. You're talking to her, she's talking. She's not listening. And recently they discovered that there is a weakness in women, that when a woman talks, she doesn't think. When she is talking, she doesn't think. Either she talks, or then she keeps quiet to think. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said regarding the witness, there should be two. One is talking, the other one is listening. While the other one is quiet, listening only to her. So if she makes a mistake, she corrects her and reminds her. So there is one standby there. So when your husband talks, listen to him and give him the chance to talk. So that gives the husband the feeling that his wife respects him, loves him. So be more attentive and listen to him. Because men in general, they don't tend to talk a lot. In general, I'm talking. But women, they like talking and speaking and chatting and stuff like that. But when he wants to talk, that means he's going to say something. And the way the mind of the man works, always to the point. And their mode of thinking is always rational. They don't think emotional. Point 61. That a husband loves his wife, and he expects his wife not to repeat the same mistake. So if you make a mistake, that's the nature of a human being to make a mistake, but don't repeat it again. If you keep repeating the same mistake, then the husband starts to feel fed up, and then that starts to, affect their relationship. So if you make a mistake, don't repeat it. Point 62, a woman should not praise another man who's not a mahram in front of her husband, unless she is praising that man for his religiousness, because he's a scholar, etc. Otherwise, if she's praising him, for instance, so-and-so is lucky, her husband is very, very handsome, or this or that, or very charming, or very tall, or very athletic, or whatever you want to say. If you say that, this will make him feel jealous. And this will lead to many, many marital problems. Because that means you are not satisfied with him. That's why your eyes are loose and you are looking at men. So then that puts the black spot in his heart. So he should never, never do things like that. And should never look at men. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who created us and who knows our weakness, told us to lower our gazes, both men and women. Because if a man is looking at any woman, he looks at any woman he meets and he sees, then he will never be content. He will never be happy with whatever Allah gave him. He would be always fantasizing and comparing and contrasting, etc. The same thing for a wife. A woman who looks at men, she will never be happy. Because there will be many husbands and many men who are more handsome than her husband. But if everyone lowers his gaze, then everyone will be on the safe side. Everyone will be protected. Women are protected and men are protected as well. So a woman should not look at men and men should not look at women. And those, for instance, some people who they watch movies, that affects their relationship. It affects their relationship because then they live in another world, virtual world. It's not a real one. It's a world of fantasy. Even when they are in bed. Why? Because of the dirty things they watch together. Those who surf and browse through the net and go to dirty sites, they will be suffering. The biological process will not be satisfying. They will not get satisfaction out of it. And that, unless they do something abnormal, perverted sex. So then only through the perversion they can start enjoying themselves. And then they will start to go from the straight line gradually. And finally they will be ruined and finally there will be, the relationship will be just, it will go, to the, it will reach dead end and it has to be terminated. What caused that? Not lowering the gaze, watching dirty things. One of the mashayikh who is addressing these issues on Iqra television, in Arabic of course, he showed a book he bought from the States about sex after the 50. The title, Sex After 50, the age of 50 years. And the author is a professor, holder of doctorate. And then, you know what is there? The book is very massive. It's a volume. And he started showing the audience that the book, 200 pages, empty. Nothing inside. Page 1, page 2, 3, 4, all are blank. And the book is one of the best sellers. What this author is saying, that after 50 there is no sex. Why? Because sex in the West starts from primary school. 7, 9, 10, 11 years girls are pregnant. So by the time he reaches 50, there is no stock. His reservoir is empty. No reserves. Because sex is within reach. He was practicing sex before he reached the age of maturity and puberty. So no wonder at 50 there is no sex. That's why now what they are doing to solve this problem. They made Viagra for men. I read an article next year or maybe already in the market for women. It is what they call it. It's like a patch. You put it on the skin for women to excite women, to make them feel sexy. There are many, many researches to solve this problem. What caused that? Caused it? The wickedness, immorality? That's what caused it. So this is the price they are paying now. Then this sheikh said, after he showed the book to the audience, he said, I met a man, a Muslim man, an Arab. He is 90 years old. 90 years old. And I saw him having a child, 12 years old. That means, in his 80s, he was having children. At 80, he's having children. What protected this man and made him at 80 to have children, and even after that he can still have children? Islam. There is no sex except within the marital relationship. And I'll tell you this about myself, about my father. My mother passed away, rahimahullah, and he got married. And my father is heading towards he crossed his 60s. And now I have a brother, he is 4 months old. And after the death of my mother, rahimahullah, when he got married, now I have a sister, I have two brothers. And alhamdulillah, may Allah prolong his life in doing righteous deeds, he's still fine. And inshallah, I'll have more brothers. Ameen. So now you see why Islam is telling us, protect your side. Protect. In the West nowadays, what excites them? Nothing. A man would be kissing a woman for 1 hour and nothing is happening. 1 hour for playing, kissing, nothing is there. Even hardly, maybe no erection at all. What caused that? So brothers, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us these things, it is for our own benefit. Who knows us? Just a tip for the sisters. At home, don't show your body to your husband. When you're walking around, try to be dressed decently in front of your children, in front of him even. Because if he's seeing, even if you have no kids, and especially you are newly married, you're honeymooners, and you have your own flat or your own house, so you decide to be naked, nude, and that will spoil your relationship. Soon, maybe before 50, your book will be blank. So a woman should be always decent. So by showing your arm to your husband, you know what you do to him. He goes crazy. Or if he sees part of your leg or your thigh, any part of your body, makes him, you know, you put him on the clouds and the sky, but by just showing him part of your body. But if he's seeing your body all throughout the day, what are you going to excite him with? With what? He's seeing your body all the time. So keep this in mind, sisters. This is a tip only for the sisters. May Allah protect you. May Allah save you. May Allah make you happy. May Allah make our marital relationship strong and make the Muslims, husbands and wives, happy. Ameen, ameen, ameen.